everyone. Welcome back. FT After Hours. We're back in the studio after quite the long layover, huh?
Oh, yeah. That was a long one.
Back from the holidays. Everybody have a good Christmas and everything?
Yeah.
Good?
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah?
Yes.
Santa bring you anything cool?
New gun.
Ooh, new gun. New gun. All right.
Where do you hook the remote up for that thing?
Yeah. How does that
work? How's
mount
it fly?
That? Yeah, you mount that on your plane?
What? I was actually excited. I felt like a Ralphie from Christmas Story.
So
it was
a
Red Ryder BB gun.
Is it FPV?
No, it's not FPV gun. No, I wouldn't suggest that.
So is it mountable on the FT Racer?
Or? No, it's strictly for varmints. 223.
So. Action. So nobody got any flying toys or anything?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
I got the FPV Nano QX.
Yeah.
We know where that one came from.
Oh, that thing is awesome. You know, it's kind of funny because usually every year I kind of throw hints out to the wife. I'm like, hey, you know, I kind of like this airplane or I like this. And every year she's like, I'm not buying you anything RC related, so just forget about it.
No. So you didn't get anything?
No, not really. She's like, you're just going to go out and buy it anyway, so what's the sense?
Well, there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah. So, no, I didn't really I did get, you know, I got one of the Nano QX FPVs, so got to play with that quite a bit, and I think we'll talk about that later on, get our thoughts on that.
Last Christmas, I got a gift card for AeroTech, which was nice.
That was nice, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know my mom 1 year got me a big gift card for Verizon, so I was like, whoa, that was exciting.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wanted to bring up real quick, and I'm going to throw you guys on the spot, and really, I haven't thought too much about it either, but 2015 was really cool. We got to do a lot of cool things, got to fly a lot of cool 2014.
It's like, we've done that much already?
I know.
Man,
and I'm still writing 2014 on everything I write down, too.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think, what was the best thing that you guys seen in 2014, whether it be technology or an airplane or a quadcopter? Or what do you guys think? What was on your list of like, oh, man, this is awesome. You know, it's not going to get any better than this. Is there anything in particular?
I'm still really – I know my next plane purchase will be the Sequoia. I just really enjoyed that.
The Park Zones?
Yeah.
Sequoia?
Yeah. I got a lot of thrill out of the flying.
So that was your big
favorite
thing. Huh?
Yeah, and I can't believe I haven't purchased it yet, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I got the gun purchase, so we're going to wait maybe a little bit, but it'll be my next plane. I'm pretty confident of that. I really enjoyed that.
What do you think, Wayne?
Go crap, but
yeah, I really liked the Sequoia myself.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. Of course, now throwing the LaBelle, that was a lot of fun too, but
you didn't have the perfect conditions to really run that through.
Actually,
its paces,
no, though. We didn't, but it was still a lot of fun
you
to throw. So
yeah.
We'll talk more about that later. But,
sure.
But yeah, I don't know if I had anything that really – the Sequoia is the only thing I can think of flying, and I think it's because it's so different than all my other planes.
Right, right.
Since I've never flown anything like that, so that was a lot of fun.
It really enabled you to push your limits without a lot of fear factor there. So
yeah.
I can appreciate that a lot.
How about technology? Was there any – I'm trying to think if there's anything really big.
Well,
you know?
I told you that article, and I don't think we mentioned the podcast on lithium battery. I don't know all the details.
Okay.
It was in Popular Mechanics. But
right.
Supposedly it's quite a breakthrough in lithium battery technology.
Mm-hmm.
They called it a 3D battery, and somehow how it's manufactured, it has less area to travel to dissipate the charge. I don't want to get too technical,
right.
But it was very interesting. Basically, what it came down to is it gives you five times the capability in the same area of what the current lithium batteries are. So
no
you get
kidding.
Five times the power and it charges in a fraction of the time. Now when you read the article, it kind of tells you how this all does work chemically and everything. And one of the biggest features is it was non-flammable. It would not catch fire. They even threw this battery in fire and it would not, like with our current ones, you know how they can get violent and explode.
Right.
Completely. It does not catch fire at all. And just reading this article, it's quite a breakthrough, and if they can apply this for RC, and they were mentioning like iPhones, different things like that, it's going to be huge.
Huh.
For battery technology, I really enjoyed reading that article.
Wow. You know, that makes me think too, and Wayne, you'll kind of appreciate this a little bit, is I was listening to another podcast. Of course, it was motorcycle related, but it kind of brings it back to the RC world. A guy named Chris Kiefer, he worked, I think he's the editor for Dirt Bike magazine, but he's also a test rider. And he was talking about that they got these electric motorcycles out now. And they've been around for a while, but now they got some serious, like, electric full-on motocross bikes, mm-hmm. Wayne.
You sent me that video that one time of that.
Yeah, they were the KTM. Mm-hmm. And they, I guess, apparently kind of like what you were talking about, Mike, they got a newer type battery technology. And these things are the same weight as a regular motocross bike, have just as much power, and they'll run like 40 minutes on one charge. So you get to go out and do like one whole race, you know. So that's pretty exciting, you know, to get that kind of power out of a, you know, electric dirt bike like that. So that's awesome, you know. I don't know if I know we talked about it too before is Hobby King has those God, I can't think of the name of them, but they're that high volt battery that they come out with now that they're supposed to charge to, I think, like 4.35 volts a cell, mm-hmm. or something, and I thought maybe those would catch on a little bit and get a little more popular and get more out, but I haven't really heard too much about them. The bad thing with them though too is you got to have a special charger,
right?
Because most chargers, you know, only go mm-hmm. to 420. So, I don't know. I think we're on the verge. I do.
Well, this article I was reading on that one, the 3D battery, you might be able to type that in and look it up. But it also said that it was like all the materials were biodegradable. There was nothing hazardous or anything with this.
Yeah,
either.
So they can be at 70% charge in 2 minutes.
No.
It's like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Can you imagine what the charger's going to be looking like on that?
Yeah, so, right.
On what one was that? I'm sorry.
This is on the new lithium-ion batteries that will be coming out. They say they can charge up to 70% in 2 minutes. So.
Wow.
That a fraction of the time.
And they say the battery can last for 15 years.
No kidding. Mm. So you get thousands of cycles on them then, instead of like 600 or
whatever.
Can you
imagine how much those are going to cost right out of the gate?
Yeah. Wow. That's definitely a possibility. I mean, we could...
Because they said the article I was reading, they said they have only been able to improve batteries like roughly every year about 10%. Mm-hmm. With this one article I was reading, it was a huge exponential jump in battery technology.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't even know anything about that. That's awesome.
Now, is this different than what you're... This is probably different than what I was looking at, or is this the 3D?
Yeah, this is just a different article.
They already had this out then.
Well, I have to kind of agree a little bit with you guys. I was really impressed with the Sukhoi. That was probably one of the best you know, planes mm-hmm. I flew, you know, for the year. And we flew quite a bit of stuff. But also now I have to say that I got some time under my belt. That little Nano
QX
FPV is so much fun.
I think that's the technology part that I like, is the FPV is getting so small.
Right.
Which makes it a lot more fun because now we can fly indoors.
Right.
And that's the part because, you know,
yeah.
I mean, come on, negative wind chill factors and,
yeah.
you know, Andre up there, he can relate. You know, it's like, man, when you can't go outside to fly,
yeah.
you got to be able to do something indoors.
Right.
And, oh, man, with this, you know, the Nano QX, put a small, you know, coming with the small FPV on there.
Right.
Oh, dude, we can have some fun in the house.
And
we drive the wives crazy.
Yeah, we did have a little fun in the house there for a little while. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But other than that, you know, it seemed like an okay year as far as I don't think there's anything that really jumps out, you know. I will say that the safe technology, though, the Horizons got out, that seemed to really catch on. And, man, I see a lot of people out, and I've taught a lot of people, you know, like on the Deltarand stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think it got a lot of people into the hobby, mm-hmm.
right?
You know.
No, my biggest gripe with 2014 was summer was nowhere near what it's supposed to be. It just seemed like a short summer,
right,
and it
right.
just didn't
weather
seem,
was bad.
Yeah, it was not good for flying.
Right.
At least not when we were off of work, anyways.
Yeah, I know. But hey, I got the Beaver ready to go and the skis, and I'm just waiting on the weather to hit now. But it's been so windy around here lately. I mean, terrible windy.
Yep.
So, you got anything with skis, Mike?
No, I do not.
You do. You got to get something. We got to get you out there. I think we talked about that before.
Yeah. He says he's not interested in coming out when it's that cold.
Get you a transmitter, man.
Yeah.
And we'll get you out.
Yeah, it wasn't bitter cold, but it was chilly, I would say, when we went out flying the last time. I thought these guys, they were all talking about this transmitter mitt. Neither one of them had it.
Yeah.
I'm like, hello. You guys talk about this thing, and neither one of you had it. So freezing the fingers.
And it was funny because I looked and looked and looked for mine before I come out. I couldn't.
I said, you at least put the effort out.
I looked and looked. I thought, I'm going to throw this in the car just in case. And finally, over the holidays, I went down and just tore the hobby room apart. And somehow it got stuffed underneath the table. It was under about four boxes.
Of course.
Up against. Yep. I don't even know how it got in there. Because I really thought I lost it. I'm like, did I leave it somewhere? You know.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to experience the transmitter.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
But you did provide heat from the vehicle.
Yeah.
Warm our hands up.
You got to do something, you know, and try to stay a little bit warm. Well, I got to say, too, over the holidays, man, you guys out there listening, you guys sent in a ton of crash stories. I mean, like blew up my email and reading through them. So I think what we'll do is we'll go through some of them. Now, obviously, I'm not going to read them all. I got a lot of them in my email. So we're going to read through, I don't know, maybe we'll do four or five, maybe talk about them a little bit. But don't get discouraged if I try to respond back to everybody that sends me an email. So if I haven't responded back or you haven't heard from me, email me again. Maybe I missed it or accidentally deleted it. But we will get to them, I promise. We're going to kind of stretch them out a little bit, and we'll get them out there.
And I don't think we said who was here either at the beginning.
Well, I think everybody knows by now.
I think they do, but I'm Mike Coolins and Wayne. And then, of course, Chris, the host, Wayne Griffith, and Chris Runke.
I'm here, buddy.
I just wanted to say that because I'm pretty sure we didn't say our names. We just started talking. We were too excited, I guess.
All right. Let's start off with Mark Moabs. Chris, really enjoy the podcast. Thanks for making flight test goodness I can enjoy while driving. I have a crash story that might be mildly entertaining. This Veterans Day, my brother and I took our younger kids out to the flying field to do some flying. They were range anywhere from 6 to 13, were having fun with the ultra micro radiant and some duets. But some clouds rolled in and it got dark earlier than we expected. I have lights on my old fogey, so I decided to put it up and give them a little show in spite of the wind that was picking up. I was going pretty good, but after a few minutes the kids seemed to lose interest, so I decided to take it up a notch and try some aerobatics. Now, he's doing aerobatics with an old fogey, so the old fogey will do some wild moves in the wind, but I don't know how to describe it with words. As I was trying to make an inverted he was doing an inverted pass with an old fogey.
Oh, my gosh. That has so much dihedral.
With high winds. Come on.
The plane suddenly turned straight down from about 100 feet and did 10 spirals before smacking nose first into the concrete. Of course, the kids really liked that last move.
I bet they did.
The nose of the plane was smashed back to the windshield. The battery wire ripped a 2-inch slot in the bottom of the power pod, but stayed connected, so the lights were still on. The firewall delaminated a bit to the top of the aluminum spinner and was smashed to the hole, but the propeller was not hurt. The wing was creased along the edge, and so I guess that is what caused the death spiral. Flight Test got me into this hobby this year, and I wanted to thank you for all the help you do and help with the family's build memories. I've built planes with three of my kids and their cousins for getting the Mini Scout kits for Christmas. That's a pretty cool story. Thanks, Mark.
Did you ever notice, though, that it always seems most of the time that if there's going to be a crash, it's at that one more time.
Oh, absolutely.
One more time, always. One more lap around, yes. Or I'm going to throw it up one more time. It's always that last time you push and, bad things happen.
You're exactly. And how many times, honestly, we've been out we were like, nah, we better just stop right now. Like we're out in, you know, 15, 20 mile an hour winds, and we're having a blast, and we're battery's almost at the end. You're like, I think we just better stop. Yeah. You know, everything's in one piece. Yep. Have you ever done that, Mike?
Mike's going to stay quiet over there.
All right, here's a really good story, and we read through this, and we actually watched the videos. Oh, they were really
Evan,
good.
We're coming out, dude. Yes. We got to go flying.
And this is from Evan Watson, and what we should try to do maybe is link this video in the show notes.
Yeah.
The video is really good.
Yeah, the video of the crash, but also the FPV of them flying over that mountains there, yeah, with the trees.
Right.
Oh, that's an awesome and video. That looks nice.
Yeah, and we believe it's out in Wyoming, right?
Yeah, I think it was in Wyoming.
Beautiful.
Yep. Let's pack our bags. Let's go.
I'm ready. I got some family out there. We can stay for free. Let's go.
Let's do it.
All right, here's Evan Watson's crash story. The first was my Park Zone Radiant. I put some FPV gear on it and decided that it was the day I'd fly up by a cloud. Unfortunately, without an artificial horizon, I couldn't keep the pitch constant and fell short of that goal. I did, however, manage to get it pretty high up. When I head for home, I just pointed the camera at my house and went for it. Consequently, the closer I got to home, the more directly underneath me home became, and the more I pitched the nose down to keep my house in frame. I ended up diving for several hundred feet, in which the GoPro on the airframe built up a fair amount of head speed. When I finally decided to pull up, the wings simply came off. The fuselage was over our property by that time, and I had a front row, first-person seat as it spiraled like a bomb the last few hundred feet to its violent death. And it in the video, you can see that. And like we were talking about, and I think he mentioned, it just would have been easier just to go in a nice, slow, steady spiral. Yeah. You
especially
know,
with the weight of a GoPro on there. You know? Yeah. Because I know there's been times where we had to drop it down just to get it down.
Right.
But yeah, that's... If he would have circled down, it wouldn't have been so bad. But, oh, I felt bad for him when I seen that.
Yeah, it was. But the video is really good. I mean,
and like you said, it looked like his braking wasn't working because his props weren't folded.
Yeah, exactly.
The props stayed out where it should have folded.
No, exactly. Exactly, which was weird. But even in the video, you can kind of see the wings as it, you know, they're folding up. And
as soon as you see it let loose, and I thought, oh, dude, I felt bad for him.
And you can know because you see the nose point down, you can hear the wind.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, this isn't good. This isn't good.
Man, I hate to see a good radiant get planted into the ground.
Okay, now he's got another one.
Yes.
My second accident was with my tricopter. I have a friend who lives on 250 acres of densely wooded hills. It makes for a beautiful... It makes for beautiful flying, but crashes are a problem. One day, we were out flying in high winds. I flew out of the neighborhood hill without incident, but when I turned to come back, I found myself fighting a headwind-crosswind combo that slowed me down dramatically. No matter, I had plenty of battery. As I fought my way back, however, the crosswind pushed me behind another hill. Video and control signals dropped immediately, and the panic set in. The tricopter was carrying an Ardu pilot and a GoPro, not a cheap loss. And as we knew only that it was somewhere around a quarter mile away in the general direction. Oh, man, that would just make me sick. You kind of know this feeling, right, Mike?
He's revisiting it in his mind right now.
As we searched, I was able to regain the Ardu pilot's telemetry signal on my tablet, but the GPS coordinates were too inaccurate to find it. While I went back for the video receiver and the screen to see if the video feed was still running and could offer any clues to the location, my friend stayed and kept searching. Sometime before I made it back, he heard a short thrill of beeps. The GoPro was shutting off from low battery. We knew we were close. Hoping I wasn't making a terrible mistake, I pulsed the props from my radio, and we heard it buzzing directly above us. Even knowing exactly where it was, we could barely see it. It was a little more than a collection of black sticks and a leaf-shaped body in a forest of gray sticks and leaves. I tried to fight it free with the props, but that plan was cut short when the battery descended from the canopy with a thud. The trees were too spiny or spindly to climb, so we ended up having to bring out a chainsaw. I shudder to think of what would have happened if the battery had come loose in the crash and we hadn't had the telemetry coordinates at least to get close.
Yeah, because, you know, most of the time you would look around on the ground. You wouldn't think of it getting stuck up in a tree. And if you look at the picture, it's up in that tree.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hard to see.
Exactly. And, you know, like you said, you get a tricopter and you got three like arms and it's into a tree. They are really, even a plane, unless it's super brightly colored, I've put quite a few planes in trees. And if you don't really know the exact location or still see it after you crash, they're hard to pick out. They really are. That story was fantastic. I mean, watching the video and everything, that was really good. Let's see. We got another. Here's another one. This Dave West, he sent in one before. So he sent us in another one. And this one's, if you guys listen to the podcast, you might recognize this. Dave West was, he's the one, I believe it was him and his son that flew the FT Dusters into the fence post.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that one? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's got another one here. We've been getting much needed rain here in California, but we had a well-timed break in the clouds this weekend. My son Cameron and I went out Saturday afternoon to do some flying. We had a different place to fly from since our usual field still had standing water in it. After a couple of batteries and various planes, I was flying my Radian, and Cam had his pop wing up for a had his pop wing up with a Mobius camera on it. The kids got me the camera for my birthday back in August. Cam is trying to get some video of the Radian after I brought it down to an altitude that the pop wing could manage. Then we had a midair collision. Not our first and nothing major, but I do see something fall. At first, I thought it was a stabilizer from the pop wing. Cam quickly brings his pop wing down and starts heading for it in more urgency than I expected. So I ask, what came off? He says, the camera! Oh, crap. So I landed and head over to find him ankle deep in standing water searching for the camera. That can't be good. At this point, I thought, well, that's it for the Mobius. Glad it wasn't a GoPro. After more searching, Cam spots a camera at the edge of the little pond, and it's still recording. He thought he saw a splash when it fell, but it wasn't in the water. It was just a little bit wet. It recorded our search and seemed to be no worse for the wear. Now we're deciding what we will use to secure the camera. And, oh, man. Lucky on that one.
Yeah, huh? Nice. That's good news there.
Let's see if we got another one here. Oh, yeah, we got lots of them. This one's from Joel Cannon. First of all, I want to give you a big shout-out with everyone and team at Flight Test. I would not be back in this amazing hobby. Thank you for all the laughs and support of the crash stories, which is where mine comes in. To start off, let me just set the scene. A pristine white foam board, F-22, freshly built and ready to fly. Plane was one of the best I've constructed to date. With the clean cut lines, perfect gluing, of course, after many attempts. Wait, is this you, Mike?
It's an alias. It's really Mike.
Is he related to you?
I do have a nice F-22 build, I will say.
With clean cut lines and perfect gluing, of course, after many attempts with other designs, the plane was ready to go. Lucky here in Central Florida, the weather has been. Ooh, he's in Florida. Ooh. Mm. The weather has been perfect for flight. No wind and beautiful blue skies. So last week, I decided to go take my new plane out. Before work. So I packed up the car, headed down to my field at the local park. Luckily, the last thing I pack is a roll of masking tape. Once I arrived, I went through my usual routine of placing down my landscaping flag, taking out my crash kit, and getting ready to burn a battery. I take the beautifully crisp new plane, hook up the battery, and power it to full throttle. She takes to the air pretty quickly and pulled the stick back ever so slightly, and the nose heads straight for the ground. Of course, dirtying up the foam. Can't have that, Mike, right?
Oh,
got his
no.
plane dirty.
Oh, man.
After attempting to put her up several times, obliterating the nose in the meantime, I realized that the delta mixing on the controls is reversed, and I had done the high-five method backwards. Insert facepalm here. I've done that before, did the mixing backwards and didn't realize it. After taking a rather large amount of tape to the nose and getting it airworthy, fixing the control, she jumped right in the air like a champ. I brought her around and put her down just to double-check everything. Everything was working before putting her back up for the final flight, which where things really got interesting. Oh, this isn't...
Yeah, final flight.
Okay, now, a local law enforcement officer had driven into the park, and the officer inside was watching as I got a flight ready to go. Great, I thought to myself. Now I have an audience. This is not going to go well. Yeah. So I pluck up the courage and put her up in the air and start to fly in a clockwise pattern, which I'm most comfortable with. And I hear the office drive off. Hear the officer drive off. I become relieved. The most worrying part is over. I decide that now would be an excellent time to bring the aircraft in. Not being 100% happy with the approach, I decided in my infinite wisdom to try and go around for another approach. I'm not sure what happened on this approach, but clearly I wasn't paying attention, as I lost orientation and lost sight of it behind the only tree line in the park. Of course, at this point, I follow my instincts and cut the throttle and start running towards the trees. Turns out that the plane, just like in the episode, the plane is neatly hanging on the branch about 50 feet high. To start my attempt of retrieving the plane, I thought, sure, why not throw the branches into the tree and attempt to knock it down. Needless to say, the attempt was futile, and instead I came up with another idea. Yeah. My brain then clicked into a far better idea. I knew I could get a 20-foot long piece of PVC at the local Lowe's that is about 2 miles from the park. As quickly as I could get to the store and purchase three pipes and one roll of duct tape, Then I proceeded to head back to the park and run into the tree. At that point, I began to tape the pipe together, at which point I had a piece of pipe approximately 60 feet long, plenty of room to get the plane out. So very slowly, using the branches as my friend, I snaked the pipe up to the airplane and gave the plane a good shake, and lo and behold, the plane came back to the air and gently cruised back down to the ground without a single scratch, more than it had previously been given. With the plane back in my possession, I went back to Lowe's and returned the pipe that I had used. Now, that's funny. Yeah. Oh, and he's got a picture of the F-22 after he crashed it all taped up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's funny.
I started laughing when I seen you return the pipe.
Yeah, return the pipe. But that's funny because, flying my little champ and stuff around the house a lot. Mm-hmm. I cut them all down now because I quit. I don't know if I ever told that story. I got tired of flying into my pine trees, and I cut them all down.
Yep.
But anyway, I used to get that thing. I'd try to fly in between them or under them, and I always was getting it stuck in there.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why I went down, got that like inch and a half PVC pipe. I got mm-hmm. like six sticks, and I put them together, and it just pops them out every time.
Nice.
It works really good. Oh, that's funny. And I'm going to throw this story out here again because in case you haven't heard it, it was hysterical. But you talk about like pressure and people watching you and it just makes me laugh. Every time I think about it was a time that Pat and I were flying our T-28s out at Jackson and we were kind of doing the formation thing and doing loops and rolls together. And they were going out somewhere. They had like four buses there. There was probably anywhere, I don't know, 50 to 100 people out there, and they were waiting, you know, to get ready to go. And everybody was watching us, and we were just having a grand time. I mean, cranking around, everybody's hooting and hollering, woo, you know. And that was the time that Pat's radio had some corrosion. And we didn't know it at the time, but Pat's radio had that little bit of corrosion on the battery, mm-hmm. and his radio shut off. And, I mean, this thing went straight through a chain link fence, and it was like a paper shredder.
Oh, yeah.
This plane went right, this T-28 went right through it, came out the other side, was like, and it was nothing but foam everywhere. And you heard the whole crowd was just like, ooh, ooh. I mean, everybody, Pat's just looking at me, he just hung his head, you know, what can you do at that point?
Yep.
It was pretty funny.
That's it.
I'll tell you what, let's read one more. And, Then we'll move on and maybe talk about the artisan. Okay, this...
Mike just dropped his head.
Yeah, I'm surprised I'm even here tonight, to be honest.
This gentleman is from Dubai, which is really cool. But I'm going to butcher his name. I don't even know. Wait.
No, just skip it.
You know his first name?
Abdel.
Abdel. A-B-D-E-L. That's what we're going to call you, Abdel. So if you're listening, this is your crash story, buddy. All right. His story starts out, he has a Bixler 2, and where he used to fly every day FPV in line of sight just to keep the line of sight skill that I know a lot of people lost after flying a lot of FPV. And that's really true, especially with like the quadcopters and stuff. There's a lot of people that can go out and fly FPV, but they can't actually physically fly the
line of sight.
Yeah. He says, I used to put this story's kind of funny. I was used to putting the flaps down for landing, gliding, and easily. The story is that he's a little broken up on his English, so I'll try to get through this best I can. He says, I'm used to putting the flaps down for landing and gliding easily through a crosswind until one day I said, why not try flaps inverted? It'll help me get inverted high alpha, and he said it worked amazingly. I was able to get the elevator go and still fly inverted with the fast nose drop to the ground. So I kind of see what he's doing. He's
flipping that's actually down. Really cool.
With the flaps down. Yeah. Okay. So he says, I kept getting a little closer and a little closer to the ground until I was able to touch and go inverted.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I went up, I wanted to go fast. So I canceled the flaps and I had a great flight before I wanted to land. My friend asked me to fly inverted so he could take a video. So I went a mistake high, inverted the plane, and had a tough time controlling it. Then I let go of the elevator, and it went straight into the ground. I forgot to put the flaps back down when I rolled inverted. I wasn't sad for the plane, but I was sad that my friend didn't take the video of the crash.
Oh, figures.
I crashed part of the fuselage where the wings are connected to and part of the wings and have three plastic parts. So now the Bixler is a hybrid of foam and wood. Ha ha. It looks ugly, but it still flies fine. Thanks. That was a kind of neat story.
Yeah. That was pretty good, though.
With the flaps.
To bring in the flaps.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try that.
I like that. So, you know what? I think we'll save some of these crash stories. What do you guys think?
Yep.
We got a ton of them. I'll tell you what. Let's move on to the Artisan. We got it mm-hmm. together. Actually, you put it together, so we're going to but wait. I hear an alarm going off. We have a problem. And what is that problem? Uh-oh. Mike, what did you do?
Oh, man. I nosed it into the ground.
All right. We'll get into it. We actually have one more crash story before we actually get into the Artisan. So we were out test flying it and having a good time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And Mike had quite – actually, you flew it, what, how many batteries? Three batteries through it?
Yeah,
and
roughly.
Was doing really good.
Yep.
And we were
when you guys left me alone, it all
turned our back on him. Yeah.
For once, a couple minutes.
We were checking our phones and checking some video and pictures.
While you were working
on
the DLGs.
Yeah,
stuff.
Working on the DLGs.
I knew you guys were looking at stuff.
And Mike was off on his own, just having a great old time.
And it got quiet. And I was really practicing inverted with. I was telling Chris about what happened. It wasn't the plane's fault. It was all controller mistake here on my part, but.
And then what the funny part was is during this is we had our backs turned and we were working on the phones and stuff.
Right.
I still subconsciously, I could remember hearing it and I realized that it was slow and it was low. And then the rest of this happens. And so I do remember it going by and I thought in the back of my mind, I thought, man, he's just cruising down here low.
Well, I was doing inverted, and I was so focused on keeping the altitude roughly nice and level inverted. And before I know it, I'm getting out of my eye perspective pretty. And it was out there, and then I got disoriented. I rolled, and I don't know if I rolled again or what happened. Completely couldn't make a perfect perspective on the plane, and all I know is it was auguring straight down, and I just couldn't figure it out. And I'm like, oh man, and then. I actually just stood there quiet for a while. I'm like, I didn't even know how to handle the situation. I'm like, I just really don't want to turn around and tell these guys what just happened. I really don't want to do this.
It's kind of that picture where you see where people post with their puppy and it just tore up something and it has that real guilty look on its face. And we turn around and there's Mike and he's real sheepish.
I wanted to be like an ostrich and just bury my head in the ground right there because I'm not kidding. I bet I paused a minute or two. I'm like, well, they still think I'm flying. And then I'm like, guys, the plane's over there.
I can tell as soon as you turn around, I see the look on your face.
And, of course, not being my plane, one of the worst wrecks I've ever have happened. And it's like, oh, my gosh. I couldn't. When I saw a hit and pieces flying, I'm like, guys, this is not going to be good when we approach this wreck.
Yeah, he hit the ground under power.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, I kept telling Mike, it's not that bad. We can fix it, you know, and don't worry about it.
I knew
but
better.
But honestly, now that we're talking about when I got it home and I was trying to stick it back to you, I was like, there's no way. We're missing way too much foam here, buddy. I don't know what we're going to, you know.
It by far is the worst wreck I ever had. And to watch it, and I mean, you guys were just wishing you had it on video.
Oh,
like, thank God it wasn't. I don't want to share that memory over and over again.
That's the only thing that really disappointed me about the whole thing.
That's what you kept saying.
I didn't see it. We have no video of it.
Yeah.
But we did.
Oh, I lived it. It was not
fun.
Man,
that plane did fly good. I mean, I was flying inverted. I got it up a couple mistakes high, and I flipped it upside
Except
down.
I really
and...
needed that oh crap button.
Oh, boy.
I mean, big time. I'm not that good at inverted. I don't know why I was pushing the limits with a plane that I didn't even own. I was like, what am I doing?
That's fine, though, Mark. I mean, that's why we were out there. You know, we wanted to put it through its paces.
I guarantee I'm not going to be invited again. This may be my last podcast.
I told you, and we'll let everybody know, it's completely fixed. We put new fuselage, nose cone, everything. So everything.
It will not be in my hands again.
But no. What did I tell you? Yeah. I said the only way is we're going to get you back out there.
I don't even think about it. You know, I'm half sick just thinking about it. I'm not even kidding. My hands are sweat just thinking about it. But
But it was funny, too, because...
And make sure all the reviews are done before it ever hits my hands again. You know, I might as well just buy it up front right now because No. Nah. It was 100% controller error. The plane was fine.
That's probably happened to 90% of the people that listen to this podcast. I mean, you get it out there, you lose orientation.
Yes.
And especially that close to the ground.
Right.
Man, it's a split second.
Right.
I did that with the Dynamic S. I brought it down. And, you know, as low profile as that thing is, man, I didn't realize it was upside down. And all of a sudden, wham, into the ground it went.
Yep.
So, yeah, and I actually lucked out earlier flying it because you were like, watch out for the island,
Right, I forgot about it.
And I mean, I hit the top of one island in this parking lot, and then it bounced, and then just came to a complete stop. Yeah, I thought I was going to hit the front lip of the curb.
Yeah. You bounced right over it.
I was like, oh my gosh. I lucked out of that, and then I ended up, ultimately wrecking it good.
It was definitely pretty good. But, you know, I will say, though, as hard as you hit and how it broke off and everything, mm-hmm. The rest of the plane was fine. The wings were fine.
It was my worst wreck ever.
Luckily, the motor was fine. Everything, you know, the battery didn't blow up. So all in all, really, it wasn't that bad.
Testament is I can say parts are readily available and in stock for that plane. I was real quick to see that, and I'm like, well, I can appreciate that about the plane, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's the testament to buying, when you buy from Park Zone or any of these guys where you can get parts. Right. It's like, that really saves your butt.
Right. Yep, that was huge.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's run over a little bit of the specs real quick before we talk about us flying it and everything, and then Wayne, I'll ask you about, even though I just rebuilt it and I know the gist of it, I'll get your thoughts on, you know, the build process. But it's pretty simple with most all the Park Zone planes. Now, I've kind of heard through the grapevine, you know, and I don't know how true this is, but they wanted to come up with something kind of next step up from, like, say, the Apprentice or something, you know, mm-hmm. something a little more aerobatic, still flies good and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of maybe taken over the T-28, which has been around for, man, I don't even know how long, 6-7 years now. So actually what we did is I brought the T-28 out, and Mike, you flew that first, and then, but real quick, I'll go over some specs of it real quick. And it's generally same as most of the other Park Zone airplanes. It does have AS3X. Now, the only kind of bummer thing, it has the older AS3X receiver in it. And I don't think that one is, you're able to plug the programmer in it and, you know, change the programming of the AS3X for, like, through your phone or the computer. It's got the older receiver in it. Now, all the new ones, you can adjust everything on it. It has a standard Park Zone 480 size 960 kV motor, that which has been just about in every, you know, Park Zone airplane. 30 amp ESC. It's, you know, aileron, elevator, and rudder. Durable Z foam, just like the rest of them. Now it says in here it's a high visibility blue and yellow trim scheme. Now I want to touch on that a little bit and see if you guys agree. The day we did fly, it was kind of overcast, if you remember.
Yep.
For me, that thing, once it got out there a little ways with that blue and gray trim scheme, it was hard to see.
It was
and
not.
That was part of my problem with my wreck, I think, in all honesty. I couldn't see very well. I was out further than I should have been, but it was harder to see that day.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't real happy with a lot of the pictures I took either. I mean, it was just with the gray sky and stuff, it would disappear or just looked really undersaturated. It was hard to pick out.
Right. Yeah, I was, you know, on the ground just looking at it and everything, I think it's a nice looking airplane.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But once it got in the air, it was pretty tough to see.
Yeah, unlike the Sukhoi, when you throw it up there, you could see that green.
Yeah,
so, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It also comes, if you buy the Bind and Fly, has a 3-cell 1800 milliamp battery. Now, one of my little pet peeves for an airplane this size, throw a 2200 in there. You know, get rid of the 1800.
Mm-hmm. Is the AS3X, now, is that different from the AS3X safe, like the button?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to get clear on that because I know it didn't have that feature, and I'm like, I was wondering what the difference
is. Yeah, the AS3X is just a stabilization.
Stabilization,
yeah.
That's what I thought.
Right,
okay.
Right. No,
I just wanted to get clear on that for myself.
Let's see. It does come with a 2 or 3 cell charger. If you guys really want to know the specs, and then the wingspan's 42 inches. The flying weight's 34.5. Flying time, we were getting anywhere from 5 to 7 minutes out of it. But again, it's just kind of your standard Park Zone line airplane. You know, it's nothing too fancy there. What about the building? It pretty much typical, you know, Park Zone airplane.
Oh,
was pretty easy, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the packaging was amazing. I mean, you opened it up, and this thing was It was packaged like a tank.
Right.
I mean, it was protected real well. But, yeah, putting it together was real straightforward.
Yep.
I mean, the easiest. It was probably one of the easiest planes I've ever had to put together.
Yeah, and that's one thing I like about the Park Zone or the E-Flight stuff is generally you have to put the tail on. What else did you have to do with it?
The wings.
I'm put the wings on it. Yeah.
Oh, hey, speaking of wings, I don't know if you were surprised, but when I was rebuilding it there, that carbon tube.
Oh, yeah, man, that thing goes through almost the entire wing.
And it's huge. Yeah. I was
shocked.
That is
one stiff wing.
Yeah, so you could probably pull some serious G's with that airplane. Yeah. You're not going to have any problems. So I was impressed with that. But other than that, you know, the wings and putting the tail on, you had to throw the gear on.
Wasn't it tough to put the battery in with the lead laying or something?
Oh, yeah. Good call, yes.
Good point. Yeah. It was really hard.
Need an extension or something, I would say.
They just use their standard, 30-amp ESC. It's been around for years. And it's when I, was putting it back together, that ESC is stuffed way down in that cowl.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all bunched in there. And then the battery lead has to come all the way up through.
Yes.
And as you guys know, it was very short.
Right.
So you almost had to plug the battery in first and then try to slide it in there. But it definitely needs like another, 3 inches or something?
The battery has some needle nose handy. Yeah. I'll tell you, that was a pain.
Another 3 inches would have been great.
Yeah. I say that all the time. But,
I wasn't going to go there.
Yeah, it definitely needed an extension on there of some sort. What else? Okay, so we brought out the T-28. And, Mike, you never flew the T-28 before.
No, correct.
So,
and that's the first tricycle gear.
We've just handed you the transmitter, and you went out and flew my T-28 around a little bit. Now, again,
which you could see it had weather for the wear on it.
Oh, yeah. That thing's been through.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I did tell you, I do have a little bit bigger. I have the E-Flight 480 motor in it, so it's got a little bit more power on it, but you flew it around fine and everything.
I like that a lot.
And we noticed when they were sitting side by side, the Artisan has a lot more wing area.
Mm-hmm.
You could see that right off the bat. And as you guys seen too in flying, it does slow down way more than the T. But what were your thoughts between flying the two, Mike? What did you think? What did you notice different besides you being all nervous and everything? But I mean,
before the wreck, I really, in all honesty, I like the Trojan a lot. Maybe the power that you said had that, but Artisan. You're saying it's kind of taken over for the Trojan? Is that what they're looking to do? Possibly,
I think they're
with
just
a beginner type.
Yeah, they're kind of finding another airplane that you can step up from. Like the Apprentice or something that you're starting out with ailerons. That has a little bit more power, a little more aerobatic, still easy to fly, but you knew doing that next step up to maybe stepping into the intermediate level.
Okay. It was fine.
Yeah.
I wasn't crazy about it, I'll be honest. That's just my opinion on it. I wasn't that crazy about it. And maybe wrecking it, I'm a little biased towards not liking it as much. But I still, for some reason, I love that. I know Sequoia is a totally different thing.
Right.
It's a 3D plane and
right.
stuff. But
right.
Man, I'm still set on that. And after flying that, everything else is kind of just not holding up to it in my book.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. It was fine, though. Trying to land it, like I said, I almost hit the curb. I didn't judge my landing rate or landing distance properly. But
right. And, I think that was just one
thing.
It
did land pretty well.
Yeah.
I will give it
right. I was really impressed, obviously probably because it has more wing area, but I was really impressed by how that thing would slow down and come in and land.
That was a positive.
And I think that's what the problem was, is you were flying the Trojan a little bit and we're just coming in to land. And then,
I came short. Then.
Yeah, and then when you grabbed.
I was way slower.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
That's exactly what happened.
Exactly.
Now looking back at it. And it for not having tricycle gear, it landed really well, I thought. Artisan did.
I agree. Yeah.
Surprisingly.
And for,
Now you had the real wheel that was tilted a little.
Yeah, but that was.
That was just set up, though.
Yeah, that was no big deal. And I think I got that fixed. But I have to give it props, too. That landing gear is tough.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that's right. When I bounced
not only did you ricochet off the curb and land it fine, but then we took it out to that frozen
grass
and dirt and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it. Yep. Shook and did everything, but never didn't nose over.
See, I didn't get a chance to land it in the grass properly. You're not supposed to land it on the prop, probably. But
so, you know, I was impressed.
You did well with,
that.
With it, though.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah. And even though that's kind of the same motor that's been around for a while, and again, I don't know, it's probably more
that's
a little
big motor.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
not
it looked
real
big to me. I'm not used to that having.
It could be aerodynamic.
Aerodynamic.
Aerodynamic design in the wing area and everything, but it seemed to have more power, and it flew like it had a bigger motor on it. You know, with doing the loops and everything with it, it just felt like it had more power than like a stock T28 Trojan, even though it's got the same motor in it. Mm-hmm. So what were your thoughts on
it? I liked it a lot. Yeah. Now, I'm different than Mike in that I liked it. I mean, it was, for me, because I'm still this aerobatic planes. I haven't flown them except for the Sequoia. So to me, as a beginner in that area, I really liked it a lot. It was one that you wherever you point it, that's where it would go.
Right.
When I flipped it upside down, flew it inverted, which I don't do, it stuck and it stayed. And it was real easy to fly.
You did
and
well
And like
it,
you
I
said,
know.
Floating, it would float fine, and landing was a piece of cake.
Yeah, it was.
So, but I liked the way it handled. I mean, like I said, the only downfall I had, and I think if I owned one, I would probably put some brighter tape on it or something, do something with the paint, because just kind of give it a boost. But the plane itself, oh man, I thought it flew great.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it was more, and again, it could be a little bit of the AS3X, but it seems like those planes, you know, with AS3X, they just kind of fly like they're on rails. Like where you put it, is that's where that plane's just going to stay in track, whether, you know, if you got a little bit of wind there or anything. So I think that makes a big difference on how they fly. And like you said, too, inverted. You roll that thing over inverted, it's almost, well, you should know, Mike, should be almost, you know, hands off.
I obviously struggled with that feature.
Well, I think you just lost orientation.
Well, there's a difference with that.
Yeah. So, I was, you know,
I did some low passes slow, which is cool on your slow-mo video.
Yeah.
I did enjoy that.
Right. Yeah, the thing
slows down.
Had pretty
good control,
great.
Low like that.
Right.
When I'm upright anyhow.
So, you know, I think honestly for somebody that wants to step, you know, do that next step up, doesn't want to go, you know, full. Because you have to admit, Mike, you know, you compare that with the Sukhoi. This plane really is easier to fly. It slows down a lot better. So you got to think of somebody stepping up to that next, you know, level of airplane. You know, where the Sukhoi, that thing can get out of hand. Quick, you know.
Yeah, but you have that oh crap feature.
I'm
not kidding. I used that thing probably six times.
Yeah,
six times.
But that oh crap feature, if you're that low to the ground, I don't think it would have saved you, because we found out with Chris.
Yeah, I hit
when
it.
He was stalled.
Surprisingly, I really wasn't as low when I went around you guys. I was about two mistakes high. I lost orientation. I'm not kidding. And I just down was up was down.
Right.
That was backwards.
Yeah, sometimes I think that.
But it would have saved me in that scenario. I know it would have. I wasn't quite that low. Now I did when I came around you guys, I was low, but I did create some altitude when I went inverted. And I know it would have saved me in that, because I used it enough. I know it would have reacted quickly enough.
Right. Now here is my gripe with the plane, and I don't know. What if they could do anything with it or change it or at this point or whatever, because people that would already have it might be a little upset. But I just kind of don't understand why, if this is kind of the next step up and the next level plane, why not put the safe on it? I don't, you know, a lot of things you read, too, on the forums, people don't like the AS3X. And I know, like, Andre's one of them. He's not too fond of the AS3X too much. But me, personally, after flying with it and without it, I love it. It just makes my general flying experience so much better, especially when it's windy or, you know, everything. It just seems to help out a little bit. But put the safe on it.
Yeah.
I'd pay an extra whatever, $20-$30 to have it on there. Just like you said, Mike, you're trying some things. It's the next step up. You want to do some inverted and you start freaking out or whatever. Boom.
Yeah.
You got that button.
I always want the ability to turn it off, though. That's, you know, when you get to the point and it says, okay, I'm done, you know, especially if you're learning.
Mm-hmm.
It helps. Or if the, you know, the wind's crazy and you want to turn it on just because you feel like it.
Right.
But I like to have the ability to turn it off.
Yeah.
And feel the elements.
And just let it go.
Right.
You know, when you want to push that envelope and just get out there. I like that.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Andre was talking about too. He just feels like he says he feels like he's more in control of the airplane.
Well, that's what I did with the Radian,
right?
The UMX.
Yeah.
You know, having the ability to turn it on or off.
Yeah.
You know, so I could play around with it. If I didn't want it on, I turned it off.
Yeah.
And if I want it on, I turn it on.
Yeah, right. So. And when it's dead calm, I like it off.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's a little windy, I like it on, you know. So that's really, you know, besides that, the battery compartment, the visibility thing, that's really my only gripes with the airplane. Other than that,
it's a good plane.
It's
a really
good plane.
They make good products.
Oh, they do. I know. Unfortunately, I don't make enough money and I don't have a big enough garage to put it all in.
right. So if anybody out there listening, they were maybe on the fence, you know, with this airplane, it's great. I would suggest it, you know, get it, buy it, get it out there, fly it. It was going to last you a long time. So
Maybe.
So any other thoughts or anything on the plane that we missed or that you can think of?
Nope.
All right. So there you have it. That is the Park Zone Artisan.
Yes.
So check it out, guys. Let us know what you think. Send me some tweets or something if you are flying it. And let me, you know, I'm curious. Mm-hmm. I like other people's opinions, too.
Oh, yeah.
See what they think and see if they agree with us. And so
the bouncing landing gear, that was pretty.
I'm telling you what,
landing gear was tough.
I thought for sure when you were going to smash into that curb, because the only reason I say that is when I had the old Park Zone Extra, is every time I'd hit a hard landing, it had the gear similar to that. It would just pull it right out. Right out of the foam and everything. I have glued it back in. And this one didn't. It's
we punished it, or I punished it, I should say.
That is the one thing I wish was different, was I wish the wheels were a little bit bigger.
Oh, that's a good
point.
If
they were a little bit bigger in diameter, it would have made it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
We did fine,
right.
But it would have just made it a little bit nicer just to have a little bit bigger diameter wheels.
Right, and that was the same thing with the Sukhoi, too. Yeah. We put, I don't know, just a little bit bigger wheel on it, and it just made all the difference in the world. So, that's a good suggestion, Wayne. If you're going to be flying off of the grass or some rough, just throw a little bit bigger wheel on it, and you'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, I think that's it for that one. I'll tell you what, let's since we got some little bit extra time here, let's talk a little bit about the Nano QX. The FPV one,
the
of
FPV,
course.
Yes.
So I've got mine, I don't know. It's probably been, 3 weeks ago maybe? Maybe a month? I don't know. Somewhere around there. I've had it for a little while. And at first, really, I was just kind of cranking around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, this is like the ultimate, because I've been wanting to do this for a long time. And there were some other ones out there. They had the Hubson out and maybe a couple other ones that you could buy. But they were pretty expensive. They were, you know, over $200.
Mm-hmm.
They were a little iffy on, you know, the video range and everything. And so I had a feeling, you know, down the road, especially when they came, when Horizon came out with the little micro camera on top of the Vapor, I thought, it's coming. It's coming. I can just feel it. And boom, sure enough, it wasn't a couple weeks later, they released that thing. And and then we were down at the Horizon Indoor down in Columbus, and we got to see it, touch it, feel it, smell it, you know, all that. And so I was really so excited to get one. So I ordered one and got it set up. And I mean, I'm just so impressed with that thing.
It's
that
a lot
thing
of fun.
Really, really is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And in the house, Mike, at first, you know, I haven't flown a whole lot of FPV. You might even been flown more FPV than I have. And especially with any kind of copter, quadcopter, or tricopter or anything, I really haven't done that much. Just a little bit here and there. So this was really my first jump into just doing FPV on a, you know, quadcopter or something. And I wanted to get your thoughts on initially, like when I'm in the house and you're kind of in tight quarters,
right?
It's a little nerve-wracking, you know, to kind of get that going.
Yeah.
But then once you get the feel for it, you know, and you know what to do with your thumbs and spinning it around the corners and get going. And I found that you couldn't be like kind of herky-jerky, like raise it up, go for it. You just had to be very smooth flow with it and just go with it.
And that's when you said that, and it helped a lot.
Right.
By keeping your forward momentum, keep moving, it made it fly a lot easier. It's easier to fly indoors.
Yeah. Right.
Now, when you try to hover and sit still, that's when things sneak up from you from behind because you don't realize you're going backwards and there's a wall there or something, a table.
And poor Wayne, he come over, and I don't know, my wife was, what was she doing? She was doing something. Yeah. So we were in there, and we're buzzing over top of her, and going around her. Yeah.
And she totally rolls with it. Yeah, that's the part. It's she expects it. She's so used to doing stuff like that. The boys are in. So.
Yeah. So then it was funny, Mike, the boys were supposed to be cleaning their room. So she was like, why don't you go up there, up to their room? And, you know, I have a you've been in my house. I have a tri-level house. And I will say I didn't think it was going to work through my house. And I seen some videos where a guy actually flew like almost three floors. Mm-hmm. And even though when he was on the bottom, you know, he was still getting the flickering, but he had video signal. Yeah. And I physically can fly through my whole house. No problem. And, you know, I get a little flicker, a little bit, but it's not that bad.
Right.
It really isn't.
What's the controller for that? Is that with your normal transmitter?
Or yeah, we're just that, using it's a binding phone. Okay. So okay, you just... I wasn't sure.
When you said you was doing the thumb movement, I'm like, what? I didn't know if you had something else going on.
No. It's just bind, your normal transmitter. Yeah, I bound it right to my DX8, you know, of the normal settings.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And it's crazy because you almost feel like, I don't know, like a little bug. Kind of the way the camera is.
Yeah.
Almost like you feel like a big fly in the house and like you're cruising around, you see, you know. And
sounds fun.
You went up and checked on the boys.
Yep, we went up, flew up in the boys' bedroom, looked around, came back down. And
did you hit any of the boys?
No.
I was wondering, is it small enough? It probably wouldn't hurt. Well, it might sting a little, but it wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know. But and the cool thing is it's, you know, the Nano QX. Yeah. So you can ricochet it off the wall. Yeah. And like I was telling you, Wayne, you probably go up and hit the ceiling a couple times.
Really?
Because it's got the prop guards on it.
Yeah.
So you can go up and hit the ceiling. It doesn't, you know. And I remember the first few times I'm trying to fly up through the steps, in through our bedroom door, you know, and it was half shut. And I'm banging off of the door. You know, it doesn't phase it.
Oh, man, that sounds fun.
And the one thing I noticed, like online, if you watch on YouTube, these guys are flying around, and you'll see them buzz around, and they stay up high. Well, next thing you know, you can tell when they start getting comfortable because now they start flying under tables, underneath chairs. So when we're flying around at Chris's, and again, I'm the same way as he is. I don't fly hardly at all FPV yet.
Right.
I'm just getting into this. And he's wanting, well, fly downstairs. Well, to fly downstairs, it being a three level, when you come in, you're already on the ceiling. So that's a small gap. And I'm sitting there thinking, I ain't going down there. But sure enough, I'm flying around the living room and going around and around. And all of a sudden I thought, you know, I can make that.
Yes.
And I went right for it. And boom, next thing you know, I'm downstairs.
Yeah.
Buzzing around, bring it back up to the ceiling and right back upstairs again.
That sounds fun.
Oh, Mike,
it's a blast. Oh, man.
I should have stayed that night.
And, you know, the funny thing is, too, like you said, you hardly have any. Yeah. Within, I would say, his third battery, Mike, he was cranking around my house. Just, like, in the living room, out around, through the kitchen, back downstairs, around. And it's funny, too. The kids like it. Like, they're downstairs, so you come up by them. They're waving at you, you know.
You hear them giggling and stuff,
So for $150, it is
very agile.
And get yourself a lot of batteries, too, because it does go through the batteries. So just get a pocket full of them and keep them on charge. And
You need about, I'd say, six or seven batteries minimum.
This sounds fun for the lab.
Oh, dude, heck yeah. I mean, I can go over in different departments.
And like you said, Wayne, now, you know, since I can just zoom around the whole house, no problem. So now, the other day I was flying, I'm going under the coffee table, going up over the, and then I go out to the kitchen, trying to go through the little, our little island thing in between there, up over the kitchen table, back downstairs.
You guys using for monitoring? Was it goggles then?
I was using the actually the SkyZone goggles, and then Wayne was using the HK goggles, and I had him hooked up to a immersion receiver. Now reception was good for you too, right?
Yeah, it worked fine.
Right,
cool.
Now
just make sure you have the right antenna on it.
Yes. So then we thought, you know what, let's get a little brave and, you know, see what kind of range we could get out. So we went outside, sat on my back deck, and it was windy.
Oh, boy.
And we started cranking around the yard with this little thing. Yeah. And it really, I mean, you really feel like you're this bug in the sky. Yeah. Like, we were going around the pool, like, up under the, by the deck there, up under the canopy, out by the, in between the cars.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going all the way, my back, I have almost an acre. We could go all the way to my backyard, cross the creek, around, and we were going behind the big pine tree, around, no problem, and coming back up through the yard.
Now, what you couldn't do is go to the other side of the house.
Yeah.
Because once they hit the other side of the house, video is gone right now.
Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't quite go through
now,
the house.
Now, is there any recording feature from the FPV or from your goggles or anything that you could do that way maybe through the
monitors?
You can. Through the monitors you can record.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of the fat sharks, like the Dominator 2s, they got a recorder right in them.
Okay.
Or you can just hook up, even with the goggles. Which goggles do you have, Mike?
Attitude.
Yes. Now, see, I think you can plug in like a DVD recorder or any kind of recorder.
Anything external. Yeah.
It's got an out on, you know, that plug, and you can plug them right in there
so
and record.
So you can capture your FPV. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
And then what I did, I made a couple little videos that I posted there on Instagram.
Yeah.
My son would just, I'd fly around FPV with the goggles, and he just held my iPhone inside the HK goggles and just filmed right off of that, and it worked pretty good. So... Yeah, I think you would really enjoy that, Mike.
Sounds like it.
Like to show guys at work that one.
Yeah. And see, that's cool.
What is the price point?
What's 150?
150 and then buy a bunch of batteries.
Right. And
wow, that's way less than I thought. I thought it was like 250 or something.
No, and here's the thing, you know, for a while, especially when Peter was building those little cameras, I was trying to maybe I'll just build one or something like that, or you know, you really physically can't build anything for that price.
Yeah,
but I believe that.
The other thing is even if you do, it's not going to be that small and probably not that stable.
Right.
Do they sell that at Aerotech?
Oh, yeah. 50? Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Guess where he's going after.
Yeah.
How late are
All right,
they
guys,
open?
I'm out of here.
How late are they open?
We'll hear the door chime. Yeah. Here's Mike.
Yeah, so Mike, you can really buy that, get some batteries for yourself.
I can buy that for cash that my wife wouldn't see.
There you go.
A couple lunches I don't pay for.
Yeah, you would really enjoy
it's
that
fun.
Thing.
Yeah.
So now it's kind of got me hooked on the FPV stuff a little bit. So, you know, now I've been looking at maybe getting the little, what is it, the Hobby Zone Sport Cub S, because it's actually made to mount one of their little cameras on there.
All right.
And I'd like to get a patch antenna. And hook it just to see if we could get a little bit more range. I don't know for a fact that nobody's really said from what I've read on like RC groups and stuff. The transmitter is anywhere from some say 10 to 25 milliwatt.
Yeah, I think it's 10.
I would say 10.
Yeah, it's not much.
Yeah. But surprisingly,
it's so little.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, you know, it's kind of laugh at, you know, people say, oh, you got a Nano QX. Can you put a Mobius on it? Oh, come on.
Exactly.
Said, no.
Exactly.
You know.
Now, you ask Wayne what he did, what happened his crash story.
Yeah.
Can you throw Wayne under the bus?
Well, we're flying down around this tree, and Chris says, hey, watch, because it has these little straggly little things hanging down from it. So, like, sure enough, I go down there, I come around it, and, yep, I can see them, so I stay clear around it. So as I come back up over the hill, I'm going to come back over the hill while I come over the creek, and I come underneath the tree. Well, there was a little twig sticking down out of that one. It dropped my Nano right into the creek.
Yes.
I mean, straight in.
Man.
Submerged. Man, I dropped I was gone. I dropped my transmitter. I went down over the hill, and there it was underwater.
Oh.
And I reached down in there. First thing I did is unplug the battery, and we dried it off, and it's fine. It didn't.
I
it
mean,
didn't,
man.
Yeah.
I knew it was bad.
Well, I killed. Yeah, as soon as I knew
the
it
goggles
hit the water. Yeah.
Off came the goggles. Wayne's trucking down to the creek. I'm like, oh, he's in the water. I go, are you in the water? I'm in the water. I'm in the water.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, and with my electronics and stuff, the one thing you have to know is shut the power down. Do not, I mean, just kill it and hurry up.
Yeah.
Unplug it. Get the battery off of there. Don't think, just do it. And Chris seen, I was gone, man. I mean, as soon as I realized it hit the water, it was
Yeah.
It powered down and gone.
And well, that's funny because that's one of my favorite recent episodes from Flight
Test.
Oh,
I know.
Waterproofing your electronics.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed
it. If I'm
going
to do that, I need to spray it down.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But the funny thing was, honestly, because you said you lost video signal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Immediately.
So I thought,
it's dead.
But we took it back in the garage. I got a hair dryer. We took the hair dryer to it within, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Plugged it right. He was cranking around.
Back up and
no
flying
problem.
Again. Yeah.
Lucky.
Oh, yeah. And also, people, if you're wondering what we're talking about, the waterproofing, check out on Flight Test. Peter and Josh do a video on waterproofing your electronics. And, man, it is one of the best videos. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I called it a fun. Hella sub. Yeah, hella sub.
Oh man, that was a fun video.
I actually share it with guys at work. It's been a while since I shared an episode with other people like that.
And yeah, it's funny because I was showing. My wife was sitting there, so I was showing her this stuff, and you know, our wives are like, "Yeah, they put up with this," but she thought that was pretty cool. I mean, it was like, "Dude, spray this thing, and it now can go underwater."
Exactly.
Like,
Yeah, it was a very good episode. Like you, Maya, showing a couple guys at work, and you know, the heli is in the tank underwater. And I go, now watch, you're going to fly this thing. They're like, right, okay, sure. And it
comes up to the surface right out of water.
Yeah, I didn't think
and
that.
And you hear Josh laughing in the background, which I got a kick out of too.
Yeah.
So and then they even submerge things in salt water, which is very corrosive. I mean, it shows the durability of this proofing, waterproofing that they do.
Yeah. Oh, I love having Peter around. Man.
Oh, man. That was awesome. So I really enjoyed that episode.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well, anybody out there, go check out the NanoQX FPV. They're $150 for the bind and fly.
Looks like it's going to postpone my Sequoia because I at $150, hey, you know, I'm going to be – I'm telling you what, I'm going to be over there probably tomorrow buying it.
Yeah, and you know what?
And I can pair it with my transmitter.
Yep,
I can
absolutely.
Put it with my Fat Shark.
Exactly. It's, oh, I mean, you literally pull it out. Charge the battery,
put it in,
turn on your goggles. It's on channel one.
Yeah,
you're flying FPV that quick, Mike.
I'm going to have that at the lab.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Oh, and then like we were talking, Wayne, we might go down to where you work there, the big, ginormous building there in the back. You know, you get three of those going.
Now you guys each own one now?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yep.
The only thing I don't have is I don't have the goggles, so I'm looking at building a monitor for it. So.
Right. Or hopefully they get some goggles in quick. Oh, but as soon as I get some in stock, I think I'm going to order a pair, and then you're more than welcome to use mine anyway till you get something. But that's a nice thing. Even if you want to try out the FPV, here's something. What in my thinking is I love the FPV and I love the quad and the tricopters and everything. But we were flying here one day. We went out and I crashed like two or three times. Well, finally got to the point I ran out of props. And sometimes it can be a pain in the butt. This little thing, literally, you can't really hurt it.
If
you want to try some or you want to fly through this or go, you can do that with this
thing. I'm surprised the door isn't chiming right now.
Guys, I'm sitting here looking at Chris, and I can see Mike squirming out the corner of my
eyes. I've already purchased this thing in my mind.
He's wanting to take off right now.
That's sad. I'm like a little skin at Christmas.
We're going to get a text real quick with a picture of Mike and his new
Yeah. And honestly, they make a ready to fly. Yeah. I think it's like $420 or something, $420. It comes with everything. It comes with the goggles.
How much did you?
$420. Comes with a teleporter goggles. So you literally pull everything right out of the box, put your goggles on, charge
it. But it's $150 the way I would want it.
Yes, $150. Yeah, yeah. That's the bind and fly. And again, if anybody kind of wants to get into it, but they can't spend the $400.
Right.
You can buy the bind and fly. Mm-hmm. Go buy a $30 pair of HK goggles.
Yep.
Now, I will let you know, and I'm going to do a little more testing, and we'll probably talk about it later. I do have a Sky Zone receiver that I tried with it. The reception was okay. Wasn't real good. Now, I have a new Sky Zone dual diversity receiver coming from Hobby King, which should be here any day now. So hopefully I'm going to give that a try, see if it works better as far as range, and then we can put a patch antenna on there too and see if we can get some more range
now
out
you
of it.
Said to use the proper antenna. I didn't understand your comment there. Was that would my I wonder if my antenna
what do
work
you
with
do you have thing. The spiral net?
Yeah,
then you're fine.
Okay,
you're perfect.
They're right hand, right?
Yeah
It should be right hand.
I'm sure it's probably right hand circular polarized antenna.
Yeah
I think I seen yours, and yeah, you should be fine.
Okay.
No problem. So I'm going to do a little bit more testing with some different receivers. I know I had a problem on a couple channels using the Sky Zone goggles, but then we ended up putting two spiral net antennas because they're a diversity goggle.
Mm-hmm.
I had great reception with them, so they did work really good. But again, if you don't want to spend that money, you can go with a pair of HK goggles.
Right.
You can even buy the Immersion Duo. No, the UNO receiver. I think it's $60.
Mm-hmm.
Or try,
or
try a cheaper one if you're not too worried about range or anything. So you can really get into FPV really cheap with this thing, and not have to worry about anything.
Right.
You know,
that's what's nice.
Yeah,
That's right. What's nice. If I go in another room and I hit something, yeah, more than likely it's going to be okay. If
right.
I don't throttle. Yeah.
And that's probably if my kids aren't around, if they are, it's great because I'm like, copter down. No, you know, go up there, flip me around, look at, wipe the camera off, you know, and then I keep going. But that's the only bad thing. You're on the couch, you're all comfy, and you're clear upstairs in the third bedroom, and you smack into the wall, and you're upside down. You're like, dang,
I really want to get out.
Yeah, exactly. We got to come up with some auto flip thing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Flip it back over.
I had to laugh. I was watching one of the guys on YouTube that was flying around, and he has this cat, and it's laying there in the kitchen, and he goes flying by and just kind of slowly comes up to it, but he didn't get too close, and that cat just kind of gave him a look like, even go there. You know, I'm thinking, ooh, that cat got attitude. It's like, you just keep your distance.
Yep. So I think that's about it with that. I mean, that thing's great.
Sounds like a great product.
Yeah. So, any other questions on a mic?
Or no, I think you guys sold me on it pretty quick. That one. I'm hooked, line, and sinker there on that.
It's a lot of fun. You'll find that, yeah.
Right. Awesome. Well, let's see. We got some other stuff lining up, coming up probably on the next podcast. We finally got the LaBelle out.
Yeah.
And we've cranked that around quite a bit, did some testing on that. And, maybe it doesn't look like the weather's going to cooperate to get it back out again.
Not this week.
No. So, but
unless
anyway.
You're into ice fishing, then maybe.
Yeah. So we got some testing on that, and you know, early reports are it was pretty impressive for the price and everything.
Yeah, 30 mile an hour wind gusts. I really don't think so.
Yeah, no. So we got some other stuff coming up. I'd like to get the FPV Vapor out too. Mm-hmm. Maybe get that in the building and cruise that around a little bit.
We can have some fun.
Yeah. So we got some other reviews coming up, and even though the weather's going to get nasty, hopefully we can get out with the beavers and get them things going in the nasty snow and all that. And then what we might do, I've been naturally keeping in contact with Andre, and he just ended up getting the Durafly EFX Racer and has been doing some testing on that, and you know, watching some of his videos and talking with him, he was really impressed with that thing.
Yeah, you know, now the weather's gotten really bad for him. So.
So we'll probably give him a call here coming up sometime in the next few weeks, and we'll talk to him about that and get some reports on that. Because I've really been interested in that. Matter of fact, I think that's one reason why he bought that. He asked me all the time, hey, what do you think of this, or what's your next plane, or this and that. You know, he bought the Sukhoi after we did our review.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know he purchased that one.
Yep. Yeah, he purchased that after he heard our review, and he talked to me a little bit.
Now he's going to purchase a Nano Q.
That's funny you mention that. I've been on him and on him, and I said, Andre, you will love this thing. I'm telling you, it is the best $150.
Yeah.
You would have an absolute in the house, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll tell a little story too, real quick. If you follow my Instagram, the one weekend after Christmas, it got pretty warm here. It's probably in the 50s, sun was shining. So, and Chad, I don't think he listens to this, but I'm going to throw this out here. Long time ago, way back when, you know, flight test was first going, and, you know, a lot of times when we were done shooting, we'd have lunch and we'd sit around and talk. And I asked Chad one time, I go, what's one thing you always would really like to do or like to try? And I don't even know if he'll remember this, but he goes, I always wanted to have like my house and open up both sides and fly through the house. So that day I got to thinking about that. I'm like, hey, it's nice out. I'm going to open up the door. So I physically was taking the Nano QX and going right outside one door, you know, through the door, through all the way through the house, out the other, around the tree, through back through the house. I did it like four or five times. So that little video I threw up on Instagram was actually me flying through the house. That
door. I saw you going out the back door or front door or one of the doors there.
So I
it was in slow mo feature.
Yeah, it was. It was. Oh, because that thing zooms through the house. To watch the regular, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh man, that thing was just hauling through the house.
I wanted to ask you too. I left you fly my baby blender. What did you think of that?
I liked it. I mean,
that's one of my favorites, and I didn't know if you enjoyed that at all or not.
I did.
More so than FT3D, I left you fly then.
Yeah, I actually did. It just seemed, you know, a little bit more fun.
The lift on that baby blender. Oh, man, you're up, like, in no time.
That is a great little,
I love that
little flying airplane, the baby blender. Yeah, and even really your FT3D.
You said it was just a little underpowered.
For me. Now, again, if you like it like that and you're happy with it, don't change it. You know, if you want to get
I don't know what more power how it would feel like. You know, because you used to soup everything. Yeah, so I know. You come from that background. Yeah.
I don't think he owns a plane that has its original motor in it anymore.
I know. And I try to be better about that, you know, and learn to airplane. I mean, I literally would buy an airplane and before I even flew it, motor's coming out, ESC's coming out, you know, it's double the power, bigger.
That's your motocross side coming out. Yeah,
and that's what I used to do, and why, I don't know. So I'm trying to be a little bit better about that. And, you know, fly the airplane for what it is for a little while and learn it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you realize, like the Beaver, we haven't really touched those. I mean, it's stock.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to do anything to it.
No, I like it the way it is.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm trying to get away from that. But anything else, guys, you can think of?
Nope.
Well, I have to say, keep sending in the crash stories. Oh, love great. Them. They're getting better and better.
Yeah, I'd rather hear about them than make them.
Yeah, but that's why, you know, we keep you around. It's good entertainment, you know.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, keep the crash stories coming. We'll read them on the air. And now that we're through the holidays and everything, you never know. We may give you a call.
Oh, yeah.
And talk about your crash and, you know, so. I thought that was pretty. You guys like that segment? If we call them up, talk to them, get their
And I know they enjoy.
I know Evan wants us to give him a call. So,
I know, and we may have to do that.
Oh yeah,
it's good to hear other people's enthusiasm. Yeah,
it's a little more entertaining listening to them describe it. Yeah,
you get the full feel for what they were experiencing.
Exactly.
And we need to see if we can put the links to Evan's videos in there. Because I tell you what, Evan, if you're listening, dude, man, those are some really good videos. I really feel bad for you for the Radiant, but man, that one where you guys are flying out over those trees, that is awesome. Right. That looked like so much fun.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And you never know, we may show up on your doorstep.
That's right.
With our Radiants.
That's right. So send us your address.
So, all right. Other than that, again, keep sending in the crash stories. If you have any questions, anything at all, I try to get back to everybody. Yeah. I was a little kind of off the grid over the holidays.
Well, who wasn't?
But I think I got back to everybody and answered everybody's email and everything. But hit me up on Twitter at After Hours or send me an email at chris@flighttest.com. And we'll get back in here. I think we'll try to get back in here fairly quick and get some of these podcasts out. We got some stuff going on and things to review. We'll get back in here and get another one recorded pretty quick.
Yeah. Hopefully the weather will settle down so we can get back outside.
Yeah. If not, you know what? We'll hit it indoors.
Oh yeah.
So, all right. Other than that, I think we're going to get out of here. And
I might go buy a Nana.
Yes. Yes.
Later. I'm surprised you're still sitting there.
All right, we're getting out of here, and we'll see you here in a couple weeks.
See you guys.
See ya.
Bye.